In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We're looking at the 21st chapter about the widow's mite. I want to just review this before I go on. Jesus looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. Remember what Jesus said, when you go and cast your gifts to the treasury, do not blow a horn to say, I'm giving $58. Don't do that. And then he saw a certain poor widow casting in two mites. That's worth a quarter of a cent. And he said, in truth, I say to you that this widow has cast in more than all of them. And all these have, out of their abundance, cast into the offerings of God. But she, of her penury, hath cast in all that she had to live on. I see this as a prophetic gift, a prophetic happening, that Jesus will continue and he will go to the cross and give it all for us. That this woman gives it all, and now Jesus is going to give it all on the cross. And it's for you, and it's for me, and you know what? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing at all can separate us from the love of God. Why? Because Jesus Christ has promised that nothing can separate us from the love of God. So this woman I see as a prophetic happening, that what Jesus is going to do on the cross, he's going to give it all. And who did he give it for? For you and for me. That's right, for you and for me. The coming of the Son of Man, which is 21 Luke chapter 25, verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations and perplexity. The sea and the waves will be roaring. Men's hearts will be failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken, the Lord says. But there's one thing that cannot be shaken. The kingdom of God is unshakable. That's why we have to live in the kingdom of God. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. And when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads. Yes, for your redemption draws near. Yes. When you see these signs happening, look up, for your redemption is near. But before you look up, we've got to occupy, because there are so many people that need Jesus, so many people that need to be saved, so many people that need to be healed, and God wants to use you. Who else is he going to use? I told Eleanor many years ago when she said, you know, someone else will go to the clinics and save the women and the children. I said, the someone else is you. It's you. You're the someone else. Because you can't wait for other people to do what they're supposed to do. You do it by the grace of the living God. And as I said, she has an anointing on her for saving women and children. Why? Because she stepped out in faith and she didn't wait for someone else. She did it by the grace of the living God. Not only Eleanor, but Mary and the rest of the people that will be out there today. And he spoke to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. Okay, the fig tree represents Israel. When they now shoot forth, you see and know yourselves that summer is near, when they start to bud. So likewise, you, when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is near at hand. Truly, truly, I say to you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Oh, heaven and earth will pass away, but the words of Jesus will not pass away. Let's think of some of those words of Jesus. Be healed. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be delivered of demons. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. You are the light of the world. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. You are the salt of the earth. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Jesus' word is final and forever. We need to believe it and accept it and take it for ourselves. I am the light of the world because I'm borrowed light. People are asking, or they really haven't asked, but I'm sure people are thinking, why do I close with the angel of the Lord declared unto Mary? Because it's all about the incarnation of Jesus through a woman who said yes to God. It's called the Angelus. I end with the Angelus because it's about the incarnation, that God takes human flesh on in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Notice that he doesn't become real when he's born in Bethlehem. He's real in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's why we believe and know that children are being destroyed every day throughout the country, and not many people are doing too much about it. But you see, God's judgment will be upon us for killing these children. God's judgment will be upon us. At least we have people that are going every Tuesday and Wednesday, and other people on Saturday. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful for the people that go out? Because when you're out there, we're trying to save the women and to save the children. And that's what God has asked us to do. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with overeating and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that the day will come upon you unexpectedly. In other words, St. Paul said, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. I know how to have a full stomach and I know how to have an empty stomach. I know how to fast and I know how to eat. All things are all right with me because I know Jesus Christ, because he is my Lord. So we don't want to become too involved in drinking and overeating. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth. Watch you, therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Watch, therefore, and pray always. Remember in the 18th chapter he said he gave us a parable that we should pray always and not get discouraged. Discouragement is never of God. Please, discouragement comes from the other one, from the devil. So he tells us again, pray always that you may be accounted worthily to escape all these things that shall come to pass, so that you would be able to stand before Jesus Christ. And in that day he was teaching in the temple. And at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. What do you think Jesus did in the Mount of Olives? It was his prayer place. He went to pray. And when you're on the Mount of Olives, he was able to see the temple of the Lord. He was able to see that very clearly because it's right below the Mount of Olives. And let's continue. And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple to hear him. That's wonderful. They came to hear the word of God, speaking the word of God. He's the word made flesh, speaking the word of God. And they also came, I'm sure, because they needed to be healed. Because he had the, he had, what do I call it, a Jesus Free Clinic. Jesus Free Clinic was open. Every time he preached, he also healed. Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew near, which is called the Passover. This is the Jewish Feast of the Passover. How they killed a lamb, remember that? And they put the blood on the lintels, and the angel of death passed over them. Now, the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill Jesus, for they feared the people. Why? Because people were following Jesus. People were believing in Jesus. People came to hear Jesus. And Satan entered into Judas Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Yes. Judas Iscariot, the devil entered into him. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and the captains how he might betray Jesus unto them. And they were glad, and they covenanted to give him money. Imagine selling Jesus for money. Selling Jesus for money. It's blood money. And we know what he does. He throws the money into the temple. He feels sorry for what he did, and he hangs himself. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray Jesus unto them in the absence of the multitude. In other words, to get at Jesus when the people weren't following him, but the people were always following him. We see in Luke's gospel, when Jesus tries to go to the other shore of the lake of Galilee, the people meet him there. They're all out after him. They're all out. Why? Because he is Jesus, and he is the healer, and he has his free clinic, and people are being healed. And they're not even being healed only, but they hear the word of God. They come to hear Jesus, the word made flesh, speaking the word of God. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. That's the lamb. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare for us the Passover, that we may eat." And they said unto Jesus, "Where will you want us to prepare it?" And he said unto them, "Behold, when you enter into a city, there shall be a man that meets you, bearing the pitcher of water." Now this is very, very strange, because the people who carried the water were always the women. So this would be the man carrying the water. This is very strange. So you're going to talk to this man and follow him into the house where he enters in. And you shall say unto the good man of the house, "Master, the master says unto you, where is the guest chamber? Where shall I eat the Passover with my disciples?" And he shall show you a large upper room furnished, there make ready. You see, it all turns out. They see the man carrying the pitcher of water. They follow him, and he goes into this house. We want to prepare the Passover for the master in a furnished room. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, "With desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Before I suffer what? On the cross. "For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The word remembrance means to make presence. It doesn't mean to remember. It means to make present. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim, make present. To proclaim means to make present. God's word doesn't return void. "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after the supper, saying, "This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you. So now we're going to turn to John 6 just for a little while and see what John says. Very interesting, because God knows how to speak to his people. And this is what it says. Then Jesus said unto them, truly, truly, I say to you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, this is my body, and drink his blood, this is my blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Not only did Jesus give it all on the cross, but he gives us his body and blood to eat and to drink. And I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is real food. My blood is real drink. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me shall live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. The person who eats this bread shall live forever. Now, how was this taken by the people who were with him? These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a very hard saying. Who can hear it? They thought Jesus was a cannibal. They had no idea what he was going to do at the Last Supper. Who can hear this that Jesus is saying? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What if you shall see the Son of Man ascending up where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that did not believe, and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, unto you, that no man comes unto me except it be given by the Father. If you have come to Jesus, it is because the Father has drawn you. And if you have gone to the Father, it means that Jesus has drawn you. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Do you know what verse that is? That is the 6th chapter, the 66th verse, 666. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with Jesus. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. And we believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You see, Peter knew that he had nothing but Jesus. And you know, that's a good thing to know, that we have nothing but Jesus, that he is not only our Savior, but he is the Lord. He is the Lord, and he takes care of our life. You know, people have asked me, why did so many people walk away from Jesus from the cynical? Because they were not broken enough. You see, when you're broken enough, you stay in the heart of Jesus, because you know that you're in absolute need of Jesus. But behold, the hand of him that betrays me is with me on the table. That's Judas Iscariot. And truly the Son of Man goes as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them was that who should betray him. Now, who is great in the kingdom of heaven? This is very important. Jesus has been with them over 3 years. Jesus has been the servant and the slave. Jesus has done all the things he needs to do, wash their feet. Jesus has been the one who serves. And it says, verse 24, Luke 22, there was a strife among them which of them should be accounted the greatest, they still don't understand. They still are looking for positions. They want to be the first. And he said unto them, kings and Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors, but you shall not be so. But he that is the greatest among you, let him be the younger. And he that is the chief, let him be the one that serves. You see, it's a different kingdom. It's a different kingdom. I remember somebody saying, when they asked the person to set the chairs up for the prayer meeting, they said, well, I'm in the healing ministry. Well, you know what? Give it a break. If they need chairs to be set up, just do it. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? We are called to do the things that Jesus calls us to do. That's just the way it is. But you shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief among you, let him be as the one who serves. For whether is greater, he that sits at table or he that serves at table? Is not he that sits at table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at the table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So we see that Jesus again has to correct the disciples. Why? Because the foolish disciples think that they want to be first. I'm first. You see that Jesus had to die, that this part of the disciples had to be taken to the cross, that this is against the world. The world says, you know, the greatest gets the greatest room. The oldest gets the greatest room. But you see, Jesus took the form of a slave, becoming humbler still, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Because of this, God exalted him and gave him the name above all names, so that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven, under the earth, and on the earth, and every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. Do you know that Jesus Christ is Lord? Do you know that he's come to serve and he's come to wash your feet? Do you know that he wants to give you his body and blood to eat? Do you know these things? Do you know that Jesus not only gave up his life, but even in his risen self gives us his body to eat? Hallelujah. Do you know these things? Do you know these things? Are you convinced of these things? They are all true. Are you great? Then you must serve. And if you're little, you'll be called great. You know, that's the way it is in the kingdom. It turns the ways of the world on its head. On its head. Those who are great are the ones who serve. Those who are great count themselves least among them, even as Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Hallelujah. Do you believe it? Yes, I do. Do you know it? Yes, I do, by the grace of God. And how are you going to live? I'm going to live in serving people. That's how I'm going to live, by the grace of the living God. Does it get tiring sometimes? Yes, it does. But you know what? We're going to do it anyway, by the grace of the living God, by the grace of the living God. The incarnation prayer. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. What it really says is the Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us. Remember the tent in the Old Testament that carried the presence of God. The Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of truth and full of love and full of grace. I thank you for listening. I was saying we need to pay November's bills. I'm wrong. We need to pay October's bills. Please, we need about $8,000, $9,000. Please, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And remember, nothing is impossible with God. Put what you have in front of God and see, it'll shrink. Nothing is impossible with God. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.